Bankless Nation, question for you today on Bankless Takes. Is the bull market over? David, I was scanning crypto Twitter, catching up on the weekend, and it certainly seemed like it by the
Everyone's
sentiment.
Everyone's bearish.
Yeah, why did crypto sentiment flip bearish? It was like four things. It was the ETH ETF will be nothing, was a take. Gox, Mt. Gox is going to dump on you. It was, there's no new crypto use cases this cycle. It's not like 2021. There's too much token supply.
No new just retail. Like,
yeah, no new retail.
Oh,
all
and
the
also,
FUD is compounding.
Germany's dumping on us. An entire
yeah,
country.
Also, yeah, what the heck? Come on, Germany. Get with it. So I guess the question for today, is this just summertime slowness or is the bull market over? Did we hit all-time highs?
Yeah, was that it?
Was that it?
I mean, so the last bull market, 2021, I think everyone said like ended really abruptly and kind of like prematurely. So like, are we getting that twice? Is that just like what crypto is? Maybe crypto is always just like, we're destined to be sub $5 trillion market cap. That's just what we are.
I think that's the topic for today, right? We want to gauge the sentiment. We want to talk about the bear case for a while. And then maybe the other side of that, maybe the bull case and what we actually think towards the end of this. David, as we're going to this episode, prices were down actually significantly, like a fair amount, but they kind of popped before this episode. So no idea what prices will be by the time you are listening. But like we got a little bit of a, should we call it a dead cat bounce? Can I call it that?
So Bitcoin dropped down below $60,000 to 59.5. We are currently almost back up to $62,000. Ether did something pretty similar. Ether's at 3,400. We've seen these prices recently. We've seen these prices, what was it? Like before the ETH ETF was approved, Ether got down to 2,900. Its bottom was 3,300. So like we are at a higher low, but sentiment is at a lower low. Like sentiment is just like, you know what? I'm jumping.
All right, guys. So that's the episode today. We're going to give you the diagnosis here on what's going on in Bearville. Is the bull market over? And what do these things mean? The Mt. Gox news, if you haven't heard about that, we'll get into it. ETH ETF flows, maybe they're not what people will hope. We'll get into all of these topics and more. But before we do, we want to thank the sponsors that made this episode possible, including Bear or Bull, the number one place
to sell to your ether.
No, David.
Wait, no, buy your ether.
Yes, exchange your fiat for nice, juicy cryptocurrencies. It's the time to do it, is in these bear market sentiment lows. Go check out Kraken and go create an account.
If you want a crypto trading experience backed by world-class security and award-winning support teams, then head over to Kraken, one of the longest-standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world. Kraken is on a journey to build a more accessible, inclusive, and fair financial system, making it simple and secure for everyone, everywhere, to trade crypto. Kraken's intuitive trading tools are designed to grow with you, empowering you to make your first or your 100th trade in just a few clicks. And there's an award-winning client support team available 24/7 to help you along the way, along with a whole range of educational guides, articles, and videos. With products and features like Kraken Pro and Kraken NFT Marketplace and a seamless app to bring it all together, it's really the perfect place to get your complete crypto experience. So check out the simple, secure, and powerful way for everyone to trade crypto, whether you're a complete beginner or a seasoned pro. Go to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Are you worried about the security of your cross-chain transactions? Cross chains with confidence using Transporter, the revolutionary token bridging app designed to give you peace of mind. Powered by Chainlink CCIP, Transporter is your trusted gateway for securely moving assets like ETH, native USDC, and LINK, and so many more across some of your favorite blockchains. Over $2.8 billion has been hacked from token bridges to date. Transporter puts a stop to this by ensuring your transfers are protected by the most robust security features available. Chainlink CCIP provides level 5 security backed by multiple decentralized Oracle networks and an independent risk management network. Transporter also provides real-time tracking throughout your transaction with its newly engineered user experience, so you'll never have to second guess the safety or location of your assets ever again. And the best part, Transporter makes it simple. Whether you're a blockchain beginner or a seasoned trader, Transporter's intuitive interface lets you execute cross-chain transactions with just a few clicks. No additional fees, just a low cost for using CCIP, which can be paid in LINK or your blockchain's native gas token. But don't just take my word for it. See for yourself why Transporter offers a stress-free bridging experience. Experience the future of token bridging at transporter.io and just send it. Have you ever felt that the tools for developing decentralized applications are too restrictive and fail to leverage advancements from traditional software programming? There's a wide range of expressive building blocks beyond conventional smart contracts and Solidity development. Don't waste your time building the basics from scratch, and don't limit the potential of your vision. Cartesi provides powerful and scalable solutions for developers that supercharge app development. With a Cartesi virtual machine, you can run a full Linux OS and access decades of rich code libraries and open source tooling for building in web Three. And with Cartesi's unique rollup framework, you'll get real-world scaling and computation. No more competing for block space. So, if you're a developer looking to push the boundaries of what's possible in Web3, Cartesi is now offering up to $50,000 in grants. Head over to Cartesi's grant application page to apply today. And if you're not a developer, those with staked CTSI can take part in the governance process and vote on whether or not a proposal should be funded. Make sure you're vote ready by staking your CTSI before the votes open.
David, welcome to Bearville. So this is a tweet. I don't know when this was dated. The 24th, 2024. So that was, I guess, on
yesterday, Monday. Recording. We're recording the 25th.
Today marks the largest drawdown on Bitcoin in more than a year. We felt the knock-on effects of a slow bleed down from 70K, but really hard to put to words how strong today's selling was relative to the last few months. We got an 8% sell-off of Bitcoin, candle
in
down.
In a one-day candle. That's a lot.
Okay. Like, no wonder people are feeling bearish after this. What's going on here?
Well, there's a bunch of different things, all putting it together. I think the big news that we're going to talk about is the Mt. Gox distributions. That is kind of the new thing that's in the meta. And if you've been around in crypto before, you know that Mt. Gox always comes back. There's been this supply of Mt. Gox of Bitcoins that is perceived to be going to be sold by the market as soon as Mt. Gox creditors get their Bitcoins. Mt. Gox, the, of course, infamous crypto exchange that got hacked. 15% of the Bitcoins were recovered, and over the last like 11 years, creditors of Mt. Gox have been squabbling over like the distribution details. And it seems to be like that those arguments, those debates have finally come to a head, and they have finally determined a release date for the Mt. Gox coins. And this has created just the bearish action, like the price action, perceived to be the reason behind the bearish price action. But I would call it like, it's not just Mt. Gox. It's just like Mt. Gox is like the next sucker punch out of just like a seemingly lack of ability to get some momentum. Like we crossed all time highs in Bitcoin and that was it. And then we went down below them. Like we haven't had the bull market that we wanted. And so I think Mt. Gox is just like another sucker punch to the gut. And people are tired of just like, why am I getting punched? I thought I was getting a bull market.
Yeah, they're saying this wasn't the bull market we were promised and we hoped for. So what's going on here? And is that kind of the end? And this is Jim Bianco commenting on that 8% down, like the largest Bitcoin candle down in a year. If this holds, it will be Bitcoin's worst day since March 2023. You know what happened in March 2023? Not only were we still kind of in the bear market, it was the Silicon Valley Bank panic. Remember all of that? Yeah. That chaos? Uh-huh. That's what precipitated it last time, an 8% down. And I guess maybe Mt. Gox and other just bearish sentiment precipitated it this time. How about this? To give you an image of how much net delta was sold today across futures and spot Bitcoin major exchanges on Bitcoin alone, we sold more than 57,000 Bitcoin or 3.4 billion net.
That's how much? How much dollars was sold into the market? So that implying that's actually like buy. There's also that much buying, but like yeah. So like $3.4 billion, like what hit the market in a sell pressure.
Here's a colorful chart. What are you showing here?
This is a chart of Bitcoin as well as like a bunch of altcoins, just random altcoins like Litecoin, Cardano, Doge, XRP, YFI, and Bitcoin is down worse than all of them. Bitcoin in this chart is down like 2.3%, while most of these things are down like 1% or less. And this is uncharacteristic, where like Bitcoin is usually the safe haven.
It's the blue
and
chip.
As you go down the market cap stack, as things get more illiquid, they usually just get absolutely wrecked when Bitcoin goes down 2%. Like Bitcoin going down 2%, that means other things are going down 6% or greater. But this is kind of the inverse. And so like, what's up with these uncharacteristic like decreasing Bitcoin price? Usually not what happens.
Also saw this tweet thread that kind of summed it up from Jason Choi. He says, he titles the whole thread, it's kind of a long one, Welcome to Beartown. I'm not going to read it all, but he goes through all of these different metrics that he's seeing that makes it feel kind of like crypto feel toppy, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I'll point out this one, a qualitative observation. He talks about large VC funds and kind of like LPs being more reluctant to kind of like invest. So LP capital in private crypto funds kind of drying up. And he also says this, celebrity coins usually signal an increasingly frothy market. While these once hailed as crypto Twitter's heroes, they're now castigated as the scapegoat for the pains of the market. All reliable signs of late cycle. The TLDR is the qualitative signals that he, Jason, observed in late 2021 have reared their heads in alternative forms today. It's been kind of a weird cycle for that too, right? Mm-hmm. Like we already got the celebrity involvement, Iggy Azalea and like Andrew Tate, like launching
Jason
their own Derulo's coins.
Here now.
Yeah, really? Yeah. And it's like these tokens have pumped and then sold off. So Jason is saying, hey, there's these qualitative metrics too that make this feel a little toppy and like falling off the top, in including celebrity involvement and celebrity endorsement.
There's another take I saw on my timeline that I thought was just like emblematic of the times. In quotes, crypto trading close to all-time high arguments are logically flawed as they lack timing and benchmark decisions. Yes, crypto is still trading below 2021 highs. That's a problem. It's a sign of weakness, not a strength. And so I think I've said this, maybe we have said this, it's just like, yo, like Ether still below all-time highs, Bitcoin crossed all-time highs but fell back down below, still plenty of like upside left in this market. And this individual is giving the opposite side of the account. Like the SPY is massively at all-time highs. Like many equities are at huge all-time highs and crypto is not. That is a sign of weakness, not strength. And so just like another bullish or bearish take that has been like circling around like my feed these last weeks. And I'm kind of reminded of the episode we did with Chris Bernisky not too long ago, the last episode we did, where bearish takes go viral when everyone is bearish. And of course, vice versa, bullish takes also go viral when like the market is like looking for bullishness. And like bearish takes were going viral over the last like 3 days, 4 days.
Yeah, sentiment is reflexive. But I do think there's something to this underlying tweet. Is like people are looking over at the S&P and stock market, and they're seeing all-time highs over there, and they're looking at crypto, and they're seeing like no all-time highs, nothing close. Right. And so like there's almost a question of like what happened. Maybe the glass half full interpretation of that is like, wow, this is a sign of weakness. Is there something structurally wrong with crypto? The reason we have all-time highs in the stock market but we don't have them in crypto. It's like one interpretation of this is, has the whole, you know, like industry, has the whole market liquidity kind of pivoted to AI? Nvidia is like sucking in all of these gains. Yeah. And it's like smoking things, whereas crypto is stagnant and off all-time highs. So That's kind of the sentiment right now that we're looking at. So I think we should dissect these one by one, you know, like kind of like the FUD, and then we'll talk about the bull case too. The ETH ETF will be nothing. Gox is going to dump on you. There's no new use cases in crypto. There's too much token supplies. So let's take some of these one by one. David, there was a thread that went somewhat viral on the impact of the Ethereum ETF, an analysis. So many folks had been saying, including like, you know, our take, Bankless take, is that Ethereum ETF is going to be absolutely massive.
Right.
Not necessarily.
GreenFi is going to love the ETH ETF.
Yes, and not necessarily immediately, but like inflows will steadily like come in, and we'll get like, you know, 20% of the inflows or so of the Bitcoin ETF, and maybe that's a conservative estimate, and those flows will be good for Ethereum because there's not very much ETH supply on the market. This take, this analysis from Andrew Kang, does the exact opposite. So his analysis is that the ETH ETFs will be basically nothing. What's some of the summary of Andrew's take on this?
Yeah, he says, personally, I believe the expectations of crypto natives are overinflated and disconnected from the true preferences of TradFi allocators. So I think that's kind of the main punchline here, is that the true preferences of TradFi allocators is actually just not on the radar of crypto natives. We just like aren't tuned to what they actually want. And he goes in and says some of the things that we actually have frequently said about Ether and why TradFi might like it. Like Ether, it's a cash flowing asset. It does a buyback and burn. Like you can model this out. You can put it in DCF. This is something that TradFi can reason about. It's a tech asset. But then Andrew Kangen goes into some of the actual metrics with, you know, $1.5 billion 30-day annualized revenue gives Ethereum Ether a 300x price to sales ratio, which is like very expensive, with negative earnings to PE ratio after inflation. He says that how, like, it's a tech asset, these metrics are dog shit. It's a dog shit tech asset in the grand scheme of things. And then he also goes to say that, like, well, we got net Bitcoin inflows at around $5 billion, $5 billion of buy pressure. There's $15 billion of net inflows into the Bitcoin ETFs, but some of that is doing a bunch of delta neutral stuff. So some of that Bitcoin ETF inflows is also selling on some different exchange. So net inflows are $5 billion. That's Andrew Kang's math. And then he thinks when you know do the correlation with how much is going to go into Ether, he's thinking 0.5 to 1.5 billion, which is a much lower number. That's not a very high number at all.
He says this in conclusion: before the ETF launch, I expect ETH to trade from 3K to 3,800. So that's within range of where we are now. After the ETF launch, my expectation is 2,400 to 300. So David, a price point lower than we are now after the Ethereum ETF products go live, right? It's like, I think a lot of the bull case would be like, obviously new inflows were going to go up. And he's saying we go down because the inflows will actually disappoint crypto investors and the market in total. He also, in another tweet, like on the back of this, compared Ethereum charts and the ETH Bitcoin ratio to Intel, actually. And he shows like kind of Intel, hit an all-time high and then just like never fully recovered in terms of all-time highs against some sort of indice. And the question is, has Ethereum lost its steam too? Will the ETH ETF flows disappoint? Anyway, we got to get the bear cases out before we get to the bull case, but that is the bear case on the ETH ETF. And we talk about Mt. Gox again.
Mt. Gox.
All right.
How many times have we talked about Mt. Gox in this podcast?
All right, Mt. Gox. This was actually breaking news. After how many years has it been, David?
11?
Like 11 years?
Yeah.
Is the Mt. Gox, is all of that supply finally going to become unleashed on the market? What are we looking at here?
Not all of it, but yes, we actually are getting a date that is going to be July, early July is what they said, which is, you know, that's like 2 weeks. So the rumor is that $9 billion of Bitcoin is going to become available and distributed to creditors of Mt. Gox. It is perceived by the market, the classic like Mt. Gox FUD, is that, well, these creditors have had their capital locked up in these like Mt. Gox distribution court cases for 11 years. And Bitcoin has, you know, what's 11 years of price action? It's like really, really good. It's a lot. And so they're going to sell. Clearly, they're going to sell. They're like forced holders for 11 years. That's going to be selling pressure. And so it's been perceived by the market that when these Mt. Gox coins finally get put into the hands of their owners per the distribution of the courts, then all of those people are going to sell. And that's why like this Mt. Gox FUD has been like overhanging the market as long as I've been in crypto. In 2017, it's just been this like meme that has recurring, just been passed down through the generations.
Yeah, it's like one of those like China's banning crypto type recurring like cycles. Mt. Gox like supply is going to become released, but this time it actually looks like it's going to be true. And we're talking about a substantial amount of Bitcoin, $9 billion worth of
Bitcoin. Earlier in this podcast, we just talked about how $3.4 billion was net sold on Monday. That was the big red candle day.
Yeah.
And so the market is like, we got 9 more billion to get sold.
Yeah. So maybe like obviously part of the Monday price jump was your price drop was front running some of that activity. Right. But like we actually haven't seen the pressure. So when is that happening? Am I reading
early July? Early July. Yeah.
And does it all come in a lump sum? All 9 billion is available right away?
No, we'll talk about that. But does the market know that? I'm not so sure.
Interesting. And to add insult to injury, David, do you know that Germany, the country of Germany, is actually dumping on us?
Where did big Germany get Bitcoin?
Yeah, they got it in a seizure. So there was, I don't know, it was like, I'm just not the Pirate Bay, but it's some sort
something
of,
like
you know,
this.
Like, yeah, a black market, gray market type of
government
thing.
Government intelligence seizure of crypto.
Okay. Yeah, German government seized $3 billion worth of Bitcoin. They've started to sell, and they're continuing to sell. You can see their transactions on chain. Yeah, so
the entire country of Germany.
Arkham is doing this. So yeah, they're paper handing. I don't know, maybe they have to by law. It feels like maybe like they should kind of, they're going to regret that in 10 years.
They should change that.
Anyway, they're dumping on us too. So it's not just Mt. Gox. And that's not all. The FUD kind of continues. So how about this? We have no new use cases in crypto tech. Like the best we can do are these cheap celebrity meme coins. We got nothing new. What take are we looking at here?
Yeah, this is Saigar, who I wouldn't say that this take is this take is actually old. This is June 14th, so like a little bit over a week ago. But it's a take that has been like brewing. And a lot of the recent, like I'm saying, the, a lot of the recent sucker punches that we've got just recently, the Mt. Gox, the Germany selling, all this kind of stuff, is like layering on like this previously like nihilist sentiment about the current state of crypto.
Yeah.
And so all these like current events that's happening this week just feel way worse because we have these like, there's no new use cases for crypto this cycle. So Saigar, he tweets out, 2017, we had ICOs. 2020, we had DeFi summer. 2021, we had NFTs. 2024, what the hell do we have? He says, the real mania begins when a new paradigm comes around and brings in new entrants to crypto. My guess, the innovation this time around will evolve around consumer-friendly apps that are unlocked by better tooling. But where is the apps? Where are the apps? And so we have these ideas about where the apps are. But like right now, we have celebrity meme coins. And Jason Derulo is coming back to launch his like fourth or fifth like rug that he's been in crypto.
It's oh, just, he's done this keep, before?
He's done this like four times before.
Jason Derulo?
Zach XBT is like in his mentions, in his replies, like every tweet saying like, just FYI, this guy's a scammer. He actually got community noted by the Twitter app saying like, hey, by the way, this guy has done this before. This is like his fourth time. Like, don't buy his bullshit. And so like, no, but you don't get to put like celebrity meme coins as like the mania that is bringing people in 2024.
Am I right that he usually does this like near cycle tops too? It's like when things
he doesn't
get
do it in bear markets, that's for sure.
Yeah, he doesn't do it in bear markets. Yeah. This is a David Phelps take, which is related. This has to be the strangest era in crypto I can remember. The tech is finally ready to be used at scale, but almost nothing useful is being built. This is nearly the exact opposite of how it was in 2017 and 2021. Mm-hmm. 2017, we just discovered programmable money and smart contracts and some early use cases like ICOs as a result of that. That was a magical time. Mm-hmm. 2021, it was the world waking up to DeFi. And what do we have this time, David?
That's a good question. What do we have this time?
Yeah, we don't have, that's why...
All the apps that I'm using are the apps that I've been using.
That's why it's a weird market cycle. Yeah. This is Miles making the case that like crypto media is suffering as well. Crypto YouTube views are disproportionately lagging the Bitcoin price. I don't know if these are his YouTube views. Oh, it's a whole like, bunch
like
of... A,
yeah. So even we're in there, I thought that's what kind of why I included in this. So like, this is just all crypto like YouTube views. So like we're on there. Altcoin Daily is here. Bitboy Crypto is there. Just like Data Dash. Bunch of just like YouTubers, crypto YouTubers. And the Bitcoin price is up at all-time highs, but just like views on YouTube have not followed. Like we had our like Mark Cuban interview in the middle of 2021 that got like literally 1 million views. And we don't have anything like that this cycle. Like the people searching crypto terms on YouTube just aren't the same as it was in 2021.
Yeah, again, it's retail, it's not here. Mm-hmm. We don't have any tweets on this, but we could add to like there's a feeling of too much supply. The number of tokens out there are at all-time highs. There's a lot of VC unlocks that have been coming and people are like, you know, people are getting sick of the airdrop. Right. Meta, people are getting sick of the low float, high FTV like
WorldCoin
tokens.
Is getting its first unlock in like 4 weeks coming up soon, so like that's going to be fun to watch. Like if you're a WorldCoin investor, like you're selling, that's what you're doing. You're up a bajillion x.
Well, I don't know what it is now, but I remember seeing like a close to $100 billion market cap for this thing, at least from not market cap, fully diluted valuation at least, which is absolutely crazy. All right, so that's the bear case. I feel like we've established that enough. David, give me some hope, man. Where's the hope coming from?
Right after we talk to some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible. New projects are coming online to the Mantle Layer 2 every single week. Why is this happening? Maybe it's because Mantle has been on the frontier of Layer 2 design architecture since it first started building Mantle DA, powered by technology from EigenDA. Maybe it's because users are coming onto the Mantle Layer 2 to capture some of the highest yields available in DeFi and to automatically receive the points and tokens being accrued by the $3 billion Mantle treasury in the Mantle reward station. Maybe it's because the Mantle team is one of those helpful teams to build with, giving you grants, liquidity support, and venture partners to help bootstrap your Mantle application. Maybe it's all of these reasons all put together. So if you're a dev and you want to build on one of the best foundations in crypto, or you're a user looking to claim some ownership on Mantle's DeFi apps, click the link in the show notes to getting started with Mantle. Arbitrum is the leading Ethereum scaling solution that is home to hundreds of decentralized applications. Arbitrum's technology allows you to interact with Ethereum at scale with low fees and faster transactions. Arbitrum has the leading DeFi DeFi ecosystem, strong infrastructure options, flourishing NFTs, and is quickly becoming the Web3 gaming hub. Explore the ecosystem at portal.arbitrum.io. Are you looking to permissionlessly launch your own Arbitrum Orbit chain? Arbitrum Orbit allows anyone to utilize Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Orbit chain, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. Whether you are a developer, an enterprise, or a user, Arbitrum Orbit lets you take your project to new heights. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum. Experience Web3 development the way it was always meant to be. Secure, fast, cheap, and friction-free. Visit arbitrum.io and get your journey started in one of the largest Ethereum communities. Celo is the mobile-first and EVM-compatible blockchain that's built for the real world and designed for fast, low-cost payments worldwide. Driving real-world use cases like Opera MiniPay, one of the fastest-growing Web3 wallets with over 2 million users across Africa. Celo is seeing a meteoric rise with over 375 million transactions and a million monthly active users. Not to mention Tether and Circle just deployed native USDT and USDC on Celo, supported by leading exchanges like Binance. And now, Celo is looking to come home to Ethereum as a layer 2, with a game-changing proposal. Core contributors at C Labs aims to leverage Optimism's OP stack, pioneering a transition as the biggest L1 to become a layer 2, with testnet arriving as early as summer 2024. With the Celo layer 2, gas fees will stay low and users can even pay for gas using ERC20 tokens, including native USDC and USDT, sending crypto to phone numbers across wallets using Social Connect. But Celo is a community governed protocol. Make your voice heard in the Celo forum to shape the future of Ethereum. Follow at Celo on Twitter and explore the ecosystem built for the real world on celo.org/quest.
David, I asked for hope. You give me a commercial. What's going on here, man?
Well, you got to make money. Views are down, man. The views are down.
Here's some hope, maybe, from eric.eth. Once crypto Twitter is bearish, you're too late. Rest in peace.
This is something that I definitely learned at pretty like early in my, well, late in my first cycle, but like relatively early in my crypto career, is like if everyone around you is bearish, that's because the bearish price action has already happened.
Yeah.
If everyone is around you is bearish, like you can't sell, but you can't sell on that bearish. You can sell for whatever reason. You can sell whatever you want, but you can't sell because like, oh, everyone's bearish. Now I'm going to sell. Everyone's bearish because the price went down. And so like everyone being bearish is like bearishness being priced in. And so like, you are not like, oh, everyone around us being bearish. Maybe I should sell. I don't think that's like a valid statement. And so this is why you always have like the line of be greedy when everyone's fearful and be fearful when everyone's greedy. Yeah. Right now, everyone's fearful. Everyone's scared right now. Everyone's in dire straits.
Yeah. By the way, on this, because it's bearish, you got to focus on the bearish, but the inverse is also true. It's like sure. Once crypto Twitter gets really bullish, you better think about your sell plan. Like in particular, start executing on that.
Yeah. Like, I think I remember talking about this take and I generally agree when there's retail here, but I think all of crypto Twitter was extremely bullish, like the end of 2020.
I'm talking drunk, stupid, exuberant,
yeah,
like super cycle, that type
yeah,
of super, bullish.
Okay, yeah, we hadn't uttered the word super cycle.
Yeah, I'm talking about that level of bullishness, not the kind that we see, which was like relatively tame bullishness. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Eric says like, you know, once people are already bearish, it's too late, and there's
yeah,
like
don't
nothing.
Now. Yeah.
Don't
you
do anything.
Need to
basically,
sell when everyone's bullish. A tweet from Miles here who says, it's equally as easy to make a bull case too. And this is in response to Andrew King, who listed like all the reasons to be bearish. So Michael just responds, it's also easy to be bullish. We have the election in November, which people think is going to A, put eyes on crypto, and just B, Donald Trump's going to be the pro crypto president. That's he's going to put attention around it. Shift in regulatory stance towards crypto. That's definitely true. ETH ETF imminent. Equities rotate their profits into crypto. And also, the market's oversold. The sentiment is max bearish. And so, basically saying, like, hey, bearish takes go viral when everyone's feeling bearish. But that doesn't mean, like, bullish takes aren't valid. Yeah. And so, he just lifts off a bunch of, in my opinion, valid bullish takes.
The glass is half full. You can look at it from the opposite perspective as well. Let's get into some details, though, on some of these actual bear cases. Let's start with maybe Mt. Gox. When you get into the details, I'm not sure how bearish it actually is. What's this tweet?
So this is the take that insiders who knew that this Mt. Gox disbursement announcement was coming front ran that announcement because we know that Gox like disbursement FUD has moved the market. It's frequently moved the market in the past. And so the real one, which this is the one we got the actual real one of like the tokens are coming, the Bitcoins are getting distributed. Insiders front ran that by just selling the Bitcoins, which made the price go down. And then the announcement was made. which means that this was already priced in. Kind of another side to the same coin of Eric Conner's take of like, if everyone's bearish, then it's too late. And then he continues to say after, in my opinion, this probably means the nuke on the announcement was the final pricing in. I continue to view the macro front as quite bullish. So I've been confused about crypto's weakness lately. This may all make sense now because of the announcement. Based on all of this view as the final pricing in, it's time to deploy a bit of cash today and go
profit. I like how you said deploy, David. So he's basically saying the market's reaction to this all already happened. When you saw that 8% drop on Bitcoin, that was the candle down that like just now priced all of that selling in. And it's like, we don't have to worry about it from here on out.
Yeah. Alex Thorne, who works at Galaxy, who understands how these markets work, they do a bunch of market analysis, market structure stuff. He says that there's a chance that people are overshooting the bearishness. He says creditors have been stuck in Mt. Gox bankruptcy for 10 plus years. Finally, trustee says in-kind distribution of Bitcoin will begin in July. We as Galaxy will think that fewer coins will be distributed than people think, and it will cause less Bitcoin sell pressure than the market expects. Here's why. And then basically it goes through a bunch of analysis that says the real number of distributed Bitcoin is 65,000 Bitcoins, not the 142,000 that's frequently reported, which means that $4 billion is distributed, not $8 billion. Also, the people that are being distributed the Bitcoins aren't necessarily like these long-term holders, because you can sell your claims on Mt. Gox. Mt. Gox claims have been like...
was already super liquid?
A decently liquid market since... this like for many, many times. And so people have bought claims, and the people that have bought claims are like hedge funds, people that are trying to buy Bitcoin at a discount, like long-term holders. And so a lot of that sell pressure has actually already been expressed in the private markets. And so of the Bitcoins that are actually going to go to these like long-term holders, the people that have been identified as like, I'm a long-term holder of these Mt. Gox claims are by definition long-term holders. So that's what they had the option to leave.
Yeah.
And so they could have left.
Alex brought the full analysis here. And I gotta say, plus one for Alex, like he was dead on right. Do you remember we had him on the podcast? We were talking about the Bitcoin ETF and kind of like flows and the analysis there. And he nailed that. He totally killed it. Yeah. So, you know, in this type of case, like he might be more informed than the general market about this. You know, like one other tidbit, David, is not just the Bitcoin that unlocks from Mt. Gox. It's all the Bitcoin Cash.
Okay. That is bearish. That part is very
bearish. That's very bearish for Bitcoin Cash.
Bitcoin Cash is going to zero.
Oh my God. Imagine all of that liquidity of Bitcoin Cash. Like
people are going to... the infinite sea of liquidity for Bitcoin Cash.
It's going to be a race to hit the sell button on that one. So maybe don't be in Bitcoin Cash. Would be some advice that holds. Okay, how about the ETH ETF FUD? Does that hold?
Perhaps. I mean, we're not going to know until after the fact, but there's plenty of reasons to be bullish in addition to like the perceived bearishness that people are giving takes of. I mean, the real question is like, does the ETH ETF attract a meaningful amount of capital? That's always been the question. Some people are saying it's not going to. Some people are saying it is going to. Now, just the loudness of the bears are getting louder because it's bearish time. Bearish takes go viral during bear times. However, this is another tweet from Zahir. ETH CME open interest in ETH terms has officially hit an all-time high. And so this is the ETH, the CME open interest for Ether futures, because you don't have the actual ETF, but the Ether futures is at all-time high interest. And that just means like buying pressure basically. That's a pretty clear sentiment of just like demand. Maybe there's some trading going on here. Maybe they're going to try and do some arbitrage, but just like, you can't say it's bearish if futures interest is that.
That's very, very TradFi. I mean, it's the freaking CME, right? So open interest all time high is kind of bullish.
Additionally, ETH supply on centralized exchanges are at all time lows. This is also, I think a lot of people are missing the fact that like, this is also because exchanges are staking the ETH. So there is supply on exchanges, but they have put it away. The supply is off the order books, but Ether is being staked by exchanges. So that's why this ETH supply on exchanges at all-time low. I don't know how much signal there is in that, but nonetheless, like it's not on the order books.
It's crazy all-time low too. I guess ETH staking explains a portion of this, but probably not all of it, right?
Yeah, definitely not all of it.
Here's a retort from a DC investor, which is like kind of like striking the balance here. He says a few things. Yeah, some people are saying, by the way, that Ethereum ETF getting launched in the summer is like max bearish because, you know, TradFi sell in May and then go away. Everyone's on summer vacations. D DC's like, yeah, it probably would have been more bullish if they launched in fall rather than the summer, but it's better early than never. Mm-hmm. At least we have it. And so what if it starts out a little bit slow? It can kind of like catch up. He also says, I don't expect fireworks out of the gate, and there could be some initial sell the news, just like with Bitcoin, but it's more about this slow type melt up. So even if we don't see fireworks out of the gate, it's like all of the inflows getting tracked on a weekly basis. You see these ETFs that are like 25% ETH and 75% Bitcoin. Those will start like moving into TradFi circles. And also he said, you know, the comment we were reading earlier from Andrew Kang about ETH being sort of a cash flow asset. DC says that's just the cherry on top. I don't think Wall Street will analyze ETH on a cash flow basis, as this is not the value prop of ETH. Instead, he says ETH will be pitched as a tech platform with financial and other apps built on top of it, right? So it's not necessarily about PE. Certainly Bitcoin is not being rated on a PE ratio perspective. And so TradFi will take a broader take on the whole asset class. So that's a take that maybe balances the difference between the bear and the bull, and I think is pretty rational.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
All right, so we talked about Gox, we talked about the ETH ETF. What about this, hey, there's no new use cases thing? And I mean, there's truth to that. We haven't seen any breakout use cases this cycle. Do you have a silver lining on that, David?
Not like a global silver lining for the entire market, but I will say Polymarket, the prediction market platform, they have open interest in all-time highs in like activity. So the like, I don't know if they measure it in TVL, but just like the most amount of like gambling bets, money being placed on Polymarket bets is at all-time highs. And so that's pretty cool. Like it's great to actually have like prediction market like taking off in a very big way.
Yeah.
So that's, we got one.
Yeah, I'll actually plus one that, because like, you know, prediction markets were an old use case mm-hmm. for crypto. And I think like we don't need new use cases because the old use cases were
we
pretty damn awesome.
We have ideas in crypto. Let's just dig some up from the grave.
Exactly. Like DeFi hasn't been fully realized. Uniswap is now doing trillions in value. Stablecoins are just continuing to rise. That's going to be transformational on its own. When you look at some of the DeFi blue chips like Maker and Aave, collateralized lending, that's all at all-time highs in terms of profit
DeFi
as well.
DeFi revenues are at all-time highs in like a very big way.
Yeah. So the old use cases I'm actually more bullish on than some like net new thing that we haven't discovered. Let's just finish up the old use cases, because like we're talking about a global financial system for the world. That's huge. That's absolutely massive. And we haven't been able to realize that because we've needed better onboarding. We've needed better UX. And now we have cheap block space. We have easy wallets. They're kind of getting there. We have exchanges in the game, like Base is going to onboard so many people from crypto exchanges on chain for the first time. We have TradFi liquidity getting to stablecoins, on-chain treasuries. BlackRock is on chain right now. We have a solve for fragmentation, I think. Vitalik put a tweet out and he's just like, we don't need full synchronous composability. The internet runs on asynchronous composability. What we kind of need is some adoption of UX standards, basically, right? And he goes through a few short-term gains and how we can get there. So the building blocks are in place for user experience. And I feel like we are closer than ever to tying all of that together to realizing the old use cases. We don't need new use cases. Like crypto is a use case in itself.
New use cases. We will definitely take some.
Take
new
what
use
we
cases.
Can get at this time.
I will say so, just like a lot of the conversation that you and I have on the show, and especially when we talk about market stuff that like we do, is like the market, the crypto market is so short term. It is so short term focused.
Oh yeah.
We think of things maybe 10 days in advance. Some drama will happen and we will forget about it like a week later. And I think you and me, like we are just long term people. We've been here I got you out in 2016. I got in 2017. We've the whole content editorial policy of Bankless is like thinking long term, long time frames. So like we don't really do well in like short term markets, is because like why would you care about the short term? Just like let things cook. And that, there's like
yeah, let it
so
cook.
Many things that I just want to let things cook. Coinbase totally. Fixing like the leading the charge on like fixing UX with like the Base and the integrated wallet, and then getting Base up to a GigaGas and like onboarding a bunch of people. Circle's marketing campaigns, Bitwise's marketing campaigns, Coinbase's ads. These are all like phenomenal like marketing campaigns for the industry. Stablecoin growth just slowly grinding up. Revenue and yield of DeFi apps have, like I said, has been up. BlackRock tokenizing Biddle, and like they're not stopping there. Like all like Larry Fink is bullish on tokenization. Just like a lot of things You just need to let cook.
Give it a minute. Give it a minute, guys.
That includes the Bitcoin ETF, which has like a pause and flows. That includes the ETH ETF once we get it. Like everything just needs to cook. But like time is on our side with all of these things. And I think like with the Bitcoin price hitting all time highs, but not discovering price action, Ether's not there. It's just like, just let things cook. Just let things cook.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if this is your first cycle or your second cycle and you're kind of like panicking, is this the end of the bull market? Just realize everyone always asks themselves this question in the midst of a bull market. Like it happens every single time.
When and also, doubt, this bull market has been just so mellow and not crazy.
It has been.
The only places it's been crazy is in like illiquid Solana meme coins. But like that's not, it's not like the whole entire market has not been crazy. So like my mind is like, is the bull market over? I'm like, it kind of hasn't started.
We've just been slowly
cooking this entire time.
This is Chris Berninski. He's retweeting something he tweeted in the depths of the bear market, November 12th, 2022.
Like, right
November 12th, 2022, right after FTX. He says, bullish from near the bottom. Hope to see y'all at 10 trillion. He's talking about the total market cap of crypto. We're at about 2 trillion, 2.3 trillion, 2.5 trillion, something like that. He thinks we'll go to 10 trillion. And he says this, he reposts that and he said, unwaveringly, 10 trillion remains the target. We're still on target. Like that is like around the estimates of what we've been talking about as well. In fact, I think that might be the base case estimate, sort of a conservative estimate, but he thinks we're still on target too.
Yeah, on target for 10 trillion stable coins.
David, should we end with some charts here? What's this? I feel this could still be in the two charts
that I pulled out from my trader friend who does this way better than I. And he posted these charts on June 22nd, right before the crash. And he goes, I feel like this could still be in the cards. And he is showing the Bitcoin price falling down to literally exactly where it fell, 59,000. And same thing with the ETH price, both the Bitcoin and the ETH price falling down to exactly where they fell and then bouncing back up. So I'm just kind of shouting out him that he kind of called that. For the next part for him to be right, we have to go up. But there are traders out there who are saying like, yeah, first we're going to go down and then we're going to go up. And we've actually just did the down part. Hopefully we do the up part.
That was the hard part. But like before up, we could be like in stasis for a while. We could be back to no man's land. We could be in like what we call the crab market.
This could be a slow summer. Like what, March?
Yeah. And I'm totally fine with a slow summer. And maybe we could kind of like summarize and close this out, right? My take here, David, is the crypto gods have blessed us yet again. We get another mid bull cycle accumulation opportunity this summer. And like, obviously you have to buy with a long-term in mind. So think in years, not months, when you're buying crypto asset. And if it's not worth holding for the long term, like don't buy it. And if you're scared, dollar cost average in. And if you're terrified, buy more, lump sum, right? But be prepared to wait. This could take a while. Be prepared to wait years, right? So that you can like every single month not be like, oh, is price going up yet? Is price going up yet? And overall, I would say just like for as long as I've been in crypto, I'm the least worried that I've ever been about my positions and about this bull market. Feels pretty secure, like building more than ever. We've solved some fundamental problems. We've got regulatory tailwinds that are starting to like move in our direction.
Things that actually matter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the biggest risk I think is being offsides and getting shaken out by these markets, right? And to like not, people lose more money in crypto by actually not having exposure to crypto, right? Or selling at the wrong times. And you also, I would not want to be offside in this market either.
But that's what we always say, so.
That is what we always say. And I'll end with something else we always say. Of course, you know, crypto is risky. You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier, not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot. Hope to see you all at 10. Sorry for Murphy. Hold on. It is his birthday, but he's being an ass.